J.R.
Sean Kingston.
You're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll never work. You have me suicidal, suicidal. When you say it's over, damn all these beautiful.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tuesday edition of Holy Commutes, January 25th. Holy Commutes is your only daily podcast for all things a wiffle ball. And speaking of all things wiffle ball, I have Adam Milstead with me this evening. Adam, welcome to my show.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
It's only been a couple of weeks since I've seen you here in Texas, but welcome. And how did you enjoy the Lone Star State?
I'll tell you what, I expected it to be a lot warmer than it was. I left New Jersey. It was freezing up here and it was only a little bit warmer down there, but still, I loved it. I'll definitely be back.
Yeah. This week we had very good weather. Of course you probably saw my post. I wasn't here all week. I was in Minnesota freezing my butt off. And, but it's been a really sunny a week here, and it's going to get a little bit colder tonight and tomorrow. So we'll come back to Texas in a little bit, but Adam, visiting with you a couple of weeks ago, first time you and I really did a lot of interaction, a lot of people listening have heard of Adam Milstead, but more probably have heard of Way Too Beautiful, the team that you play on. But let's find out about Adam. Adam, tell me about where you're from originally, where you grew up, about your upbringing.
Yeah, so I grew up in South Jersey, literally like two blocks from Ian Crosby and my other buddy Mike. And it was probably about 2006, 2007 where we started getting into wiffle ball. We used to play in everybody's backyards, but I think 06 was the first wiffle up tournament we went to. And I don't know, just grew up in South Jersey. We're about 15 minutes from Philly. So huge Philly Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, big fan. But
when you say South Jersey, what does that mean to me? I mean, I don't know. Is there some type of wall or what is it? What's the cutoff to South Jersey?
It depends who you're talking to, but around my area, everyone seems to count Trenton as the midline. So if you're above Trenton, that's North Jersey. If you're below, it's South Jersey. Some people like to claim there's a Central Jersey. I still think it's a myth, but I'm in South Jersey.
So you played in a wiffle up tournament when they were still in existence. Some of those tournaments were pretty big.
Yeah, so it's a running joke with the Way Too Beautiful guys that every time we went to the Philly tournament, it was the most teams he ever had, whether it was 50 one year or 30 the next year. Every year it was the most teams he had. But Wiffle Up was definitely some of our favorite tournaments to play in.
Yeah, they definitely had a good following. It's a shame that there's not a series like that continuing to go on and to attract a lot of different teams. So it's really cool. Hey, what sports did you play growing up?
So growing up, I played mostly baseball, hockey, and football.
And in high school, did you play any of those sports in high school?
Yeah, so I did baseball and football in high school, and I still play in a rec roller hockey league to this day.
Oh, interesting. What positions did you play in baseball?
I was mostly a pitcher, but I played everywhere. When I wasn't pitching, I was in the outfield or third base. And when I was in Little League, I was mostly like shortstop or second base.
Yeah. Now, Ian, one of your really good friends, we were talking before we went on the air, he's moving, right? And a big piece of your team, Way Too Beautiful, is leaving the state. By the time that this airs, on Tuesday the 25th, your tournament in Arizona will be over. I know you're going out there to play in MLW. Are there plans for you to go out there and play more, some more this year with him, or him to fly back to play any with Way Too Beautiful?
Yeah. So what Crosby's plan is his girlfriend got a job as a travel nurse. So every 3 months, they're going to move to a different area in the country.
Oh.
After the 3 months in Arizona, depending where he moves to, we've already talked about if there's a tournament anywhere near him, we'll get myself and my friend Mike to fly out and maybe my friend Brett and try to get into the tournament.
Maybe he'll be in Austin. Maybe.
That's true. I'll have to try to talk him into it. But yeah, so he's also planning to fly back for at least the Golden Stick Open. He definitely plans to be at UWIFS. And there's this tournament we play in Sea Isle City, New Jersey every year. Mm-hmm. And that's usually a week before the Golden Stick Open. So he's going to try to hope that that times out the way that we're thinking.
That's awesome. I was really excited during UWIF to see him go on a tear at the plate with the bat that he just bought from me that I brought up. And it was just such a joy to see him just go on an offensive tear. One of the best offensive performances of any player there at UF.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So obviously I've played with Crosby for a while, and that's the Crosby I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in Mid-Atlantic, he didn't have the year he was hoping for. Mm. And he actually is. He's accounting it to the bat because he was using a moonshot all of Mid-Atlantic because I stole the water bat. And as soon as I gave it to him for like the last Mid-Atlantic tournament, and he finally got his best hitting day of the tournament or of the Mid-Atlantic season. And then it just carried right into UFs. He was absolutely on fire.
He was. And it was just, again, I'm realistic. I don't always think it's the bat that's hitting but it was just great to see him use that and just get on a tear and using it. So, you look forward to seeing him, bat some more and play some more with using that water bat. So Way Too Beautiful, you know, that's one of Wiffle Ball's now most iconic brands, I think. That's just my opinion. So tell everybody that's listening the story about the unique name and color combination about the Way Too Beautiful brand.
Yeah, absolutely. So before I do that, while the water bat's still on my mind, is there going to be water bat in Venezuela anytime soon?
So it's funny, the guy communicated with me today as we got it on air, the guy from Venezuela. It's funny that he's actually a business, not a guy that's wanting a bat. So we've exchanged a couple of messages so far here in the last couple of hours. And he's asking about a bulk or a wholesale price, so we'll see. I'm a little leery because I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about what his goal, what he's trying to do, because when we think about wiffle ball, you know, how many people are really playing wiffle ball in Venezuela? We don't know, right, to be fair, right. But I think he's a company that does baseball and wiffle ball together and does some traveling things. I think he's looking maybe to add something to his what he has to offer on his store or whatever. So I'm asking some pointed questions, got to find out if it's really serious or not, but I'm not giving it away. You know, I still have to make money off of it as well. So we'll see. I'm going to stand by and maybe I can get one of my water bats in the hands of those guys over in Japan. I'd like to, maybe send one over there, but they've not reached out, but I don't know how much shipping would be to Japan. So we'll have to see. So, all right, back to Way Too Beautiful.
Yeah. So back in 2007, we were going to a Wiffle Up tournament and we had signed up for the tournament, but we didn't have a team name yet. So we're all sitting in the car outside of the Philly baseball fields, like maybe 20 minutes before the tournament started. And it got to a point where we're just like, all right, screw it. Next song on the radio, we're just going to take that song and make it our team name. And in the summer of 2007, the biggest hit on the radio was Sean Kingston with Beautiful Girls. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be the first line in the song. He says, you're way too beautiful, girl. So we took Way Too Beautiful and we ran with it. So the next Wiffle Up tournament signed up as the same name. And this time we needed to get jerseys. So we went to like the local craft store in like a town away. I forget the name of it at the time, but we went into the craft store and we were like, all right, what are some of like the girliest colors we could pick out right now? So we picked out like this baby blue shirt and we picked out some pink like ink writing stuff and we just handcrafted our own jerseys. And now we can't get away from it. It's Way Too Beautiful is here to stay forever.
That's pretty awesome. Surely during that time early on, y'all, of how the next song that comes on the radio, y'all have had conversations about, hey, what if it was this song? What were some funny things that y'all thought about that might have come up on the radio that might have been your team name?
It's funny you ask that because there's not many songs I remember from that year, but there was this one. It was just like this random like viral video of this guy singing a song called Chocolate Rain. And it was just this guy with a super deep voice making like a joke song. And we were convinced that somehow that was going to be it. And luckily it was Sean Kingston and not Chocolate Rain.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love the story and I really love the unique color combination because no one is like that. Right. So, you know, when you see Way Too Beautiful, you know, walk in, you know who they are just by looking at the color combos. Will there ever be a mechanism for people to buy Way Too Beautiful gear or stickers or things like that?
Yeah, we've actually tried to open up like a little merch store. It wasn't really the best in the world. Mm-hmm. So we got a couple buddies that are kind of messing around with stuff, and we're hoping at least one day we'll be able to get some stuff up for people.
Yeah. So I've noticed and you're having a lot of fun with the Way Too Beautiful stickers being all over the place. And, you know, I compare it to me taking Whiffy around and getting pictures of Whiffy in different places. And it's really cool. What is the furthest from you right now that you have actually posted or seen a sticker of a Way Too Beautiful somewhere?
So the furthest is probably in Italy. There's a few scattered around Italy. My uncle went on a trip, I want to say it was 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent him with a handful of stickers and said, make sure you put them up and take a picture for me.
That is awesome. And might we see some here in the next week that is in Vegas?
That's a good question. No, I don't think I have any up in Vegas yet, but I'm going to be bringing a bunch with me to Arizona. So
yeah,
I'll hand Gannon a bunch and tell him to figure it out.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I look forward to it. That's really cool. And look forward to seeing the pictures of in Arizona there. So again, Way Too Beautiful. That's the story of the name and color combination going in. So I want to ask you a little bit about wiffleballtournaments.com. I think this is, and I don't know how many visitors visit that page or not. You know, you might be able to fill me in on some of your traffic, but it seems like a great idea. I don't know if people are being driven there or not. Can you tell me about what traffic you've had on that website?
Yeah. So I started it back in 2015. Me and Crosby used to keep like a little Word document of local tournaments we wanted to try to get to. And I was bored down the shore one summer and I just found WordPress.com and started creating it.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, I think there was only like 1,000 people that went through it. It was mm-hmm. fairly new. No one knew about it. The second year, I just started, every time I saw someone post a tournament on Twitter or Facebook, I would just comment, hey, I'm going to list it on wiffleballtournaments.com. So the second year we had about 30,000 views on the website. And since 2016, it's been pretty average between like 20 to 30,000 views a year. This past year, however, it was broke a record again and it was over 40,000 views.
It is interesting. And, you know, to see what you have posted there. And again, several months ago, I got bored, and you know that because I reached out to you and I said, hey, I found some. Do you want to see them? And I actually sat in front of the computer for hours and typing in each state and wiffle ball and to see what in leagues or tournaments and see what came up. And I found quite a few you didn't have, right? Mm-hmm. And so sent those to you. And one of the unique ones was the Women's League in Alabama. Yes. And I even had her on one of our podcasts. And ironically, we're planning on doing a Women's League here in Cedar Park this spring. So I got the inspiration from that. And there are universities that are also doing wiffle ball that I found as well. Right. And it's, yep. it is interesting when you do a deep dive that there are more people playing than we think.
Yeah. So I haven't even touched like all, I know I get a lot of tournaments and leagues posted on there, but I haven't even like scratched the surface of how many are actually out there. Because basically what I'm doing is I set it up so when someone tweets the word wiffle, I'll get an email. And then I kind of just sift through the emails and look for ones that have like tournament dates or league mm-hmm. dates.
Yeah.
And then as I see them, I'll save them and I'll post them when I get a chance to. Occasionally I'll go into Google and I'll just type in like upcoming wiffle ball tournaments. Or even a good way to do it is you go into Facebook search and type in wiffle ball tournaments and the year. But yeah, there's so many, like there's a lot of intramural leagues and colleges all over the place.
Yeah. Are there people reaching out to you, giving you the information on their tournament or league?
Yeah. So it doesn't happen as often as I'd like, but occasionally I do get emails from people asking to post their tournament or their league. Other times I'll get people asking for like leagues that might be near them or tournaments that might be near them. Sometimes I'll even get people that say they have a field and they want to try to host a tournament there. And then I'll try to just figure out who's near them and who I can mm-hmm. put them in contact with. Cause a lot of times they think it's me running the tournaments on the site.
Oh,
so I have to kind of just explain to them. I'm just kind of listing it for people to find.
Oh, interesting. I think it's a great reference point. I also saw that you have a fields section. Tell me about that and what it is that you're envisioning with fields.
So I have a couple different pages on there. I have one where I try to list leagues as I find them. And I have another one where I try to list the fields as I find them. Or if someone sends me their field, like dimensions and a couple pictures and where they're located. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really have a plan for that. I just think it's cool to have on there. If people mm-hmm. want to kind of try to get an idea when they're making their own type of field or, you know, just help people see what kind of wiffle ball's out there.
Okay. And the last thing about wiffleballtournaments.com, and again, if anybody doesn't know what it is, wiffleballtournaments.com is a site that you can go to that Adam has that you can find leagues and tournaments across the country. Not all of them, because he doesn't have access to everything. But if you know of leagues or tournaments that's not listed on his page, how can they get a hold of you, Adam?
So they can either reach me at wtbwiffle@gmail.com. That's probably the best because that's where I try to keep all the stuff wiffle ball related. Mm-hmm. Or you can just find me on social media. You can just pretty much search Millsy26 and I'll pop up.
Or Way Too Beautiful.
Yeah, that's true. We're Way Too Beautiful Wiffle. Yeah.
And I think his contact information is on wiffleballtournaments.com as well. So wiffleballtournaments.com, sure. You can find him there. So do you have any vision, long-term vision of what wiffleballtournaments.com might have in the future or what you may envision it, to add to it? And even though it's not realistic, it may not be in your time frame right now, you don't have the time. What are some things that you've thought about growing into?
Honestly, the biggest thing I would love to do with it one day is have just like an interactive map. So, or like even a filter where it would be so much easier to just type in to like the filter where you're looking at, and it'll pop up whether you're looking for like a medium pitch or a league or a fast pitch. Either of those. The interactive map, I think, would be cool because it would just pop up and you could kind of click what state you're in, or maybe where you're traveling to, or even the country. But one day, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you've done a good job with it. And the last thing I'd like to talk about is about your Texas visit. You know, you reached out to me a couple of months ago and said, hey, I'm going to be in Austin. And ironically, I don't know if you planned it, but ironically, the weekend you were coming, that's the weekend I had a tournament. Was it by chance?
Total chance. My wife was planning a visit to see her best friend from college that she was roommates with. And as soon as they picked the date, they told me the dates they were planning on. I texted you right away. And you texted me back, hey, how convenient. There's going to be a Winter Classic that weekend. And I turned and looked at Lee and I said, guess what? If we're going, I'm going to play wiffle ball on Saturday.
And she didn't smack you?
Nah, she was a sport about it. I mean, I thought for sure I was going to get a lot more shit than I did. But she was a good sport about it. And they're all hungover on Saturday and made it to the playoffs and sat through all the playoffs watching the games.
They did. You had it was funny that you come the furthest, but you had the biggest fan base. So that was really good. So when you you played with man here as a two-man team, and you know, anytime you play, especially medium pitch, you go into two-man, you go, oh man, there's a lot of field to cover, right? And that makes it harder for a two-man, but there's some advantages of a two-man as well, correct?
Yeah, hitting wise, two-man, it's, you can't get much better than that. You're getting up 1 to 2 times every inning. It's just one after the other, swing, 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 get a rhythm down. Fielding wise, definitely tough, especially in medium pitch. Me and Niffman were texting back and forth like 2-3 days after, and we were both still sore from running all over the place.
So, all right, I'm going to ask good questions. I want you to be fully honest with me on style. So our rules are a little bit different, but the basics is you still have to hit the ball, you still have to pitch the ball, and you still have to catch the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of the style of play that's played down here in Texas? And be honest, for people that don't know, you're not going to hurt my feelings. There are people that don't know, that's never played down here. And I've had a few. I've had Niffman play here, and Gannon's played here, and Nick Martinez has played here. And so, and I've gotten their feedback. I'm curious how you viewed it.
Yeah. So in all honesty, before we went, I was very skeptical of the gameplay. It's the medium pitch, big bat. The one and done rule. But playing it, I loved it. It levels the playing field because everyone's got the same big bat. And honestly, swinging the big bat in fast pitch is like one of my favorite things to do. If it's not a yellow bat, I love the fast pitch bats. So just having that, and then, I mean, big bat, medium pitch, and the one and done rule, that levels out the playing field big time. Like, anyone can beat anybody at any time.
Somebody from the Northeast might look at that and go, wait, yard style with a big bat, you know, it's going to be like 30 runs scored. And that's not the case, right? And it's not the case because of the, what you call the one and done, is the caught looking rule. Is if it bangs the zone and you do not swing, you're out caught looking. And I've always had this idea of, and I can't prove it, but because of it, it does take the bat off your shoulder and causes you to, instead of waiting on pitches until you get a strike or two, so you got to be ready to swing on the very first pitch. I think there's more balls put into play because of the caught looking rule as opposed to not. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. You get a lot more people swinging that way, which helps me out because I'm like usually an effectively wild pitcher. So a lot of times I'll be missing the zone by like fractions of inches, and man, everybody's got such a good eye these days where it just gets frustrating up there. Mm-hmm. But with the one and done rule, when it's that close, you can't take the chance that you're just going to be standing there with the bat on your shoulder and get called out. So you get a lot more people swinging. And since the bat's bigger, you get a lot more balls in play. And I'll tell you what, me and Niffman felt that for a couple of days after, because we were, like I said, we were running all over the place.
And I'm going to surprise you here if I haven't told you the story. The origins of the basis of the Texas rules hails from New Jersey. And Mike Palanzar, who, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
But Mike Palanzar, at the time I started wiffle ball 20 years ago, he was, his summer showdown was the bee's knees that he held in Trenton, which is mid-Jersey.
Yes.
He was the only wiffle thing you could find on, at the time, the internet, right? And so I gave him a call and he opened his arms to me. He helped me out. He sent me the rules. He talked me through all kinds of things about how to set it up. And again, rules and the rule play. So my rule book, if you looked at a New Jersey wiffle ball rule book and mine, you're going to see same headings and a lot of the same words, because I copied and pasted it. We've added to it and tightened it up, but that was really the origin of the Texas rules, came from New Jersey. And it was the rules that he basically used in the summer showdown back then. People tell me how legendary some of those tournaments were in Trenton, that how awesome they were. So
that was the place to be.
Yeah. And I've been lucky enough to meet Mike. He came down for a couple of the Fast Plastic tournaments and played down here. And so I had the privilege to meet him. But that's really the origins. And so I'm glad to hear your feedback about the Texas thing. And it's not for everybody, but Gannon said the same thing. And Cooper Ruckel likes it. Nick likes it. You know, it is easier gameplay. Now, one other thing we talked about with the Texas guys is behavior. And, you know, tell the listeners about what you experience as far as behavior difference from the all the teams. We had 20 teams, all the guys that were playing in our tournament, as opposed to going to a tournament in the Northeast.
So I will quote my wife on this one and say, it is a lot quieter. That was what she kept saying. She's like, this is a lot different than up north and back home. It's a lot quieter here, but, you know what? To each their own. Some people like to scream, you know, you got Connors out there screaming every pitch, whether it's like 10 run game or a 1 run game. My wife said it perfect. It was a lot quieter.
But it's not lack of competitiveness.
Not at all.
You know, not at all. Because the guys are still competitive. And to tell a story about our tournament and, you know, to set the stage, you snuck in as the bottom seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, we sure did. The pool play game, the three pool play games, we won one of the three games. We were not playing well at all. Niffman was pitching great. We just weren't. Niffman was probably hitting better than I was. I was not hitting well at all. I'm pretty sure I was hungover from the night before. And Niffman had been working a wedding the day before. And I think he said his watch tracked him at walking like 10 or 11 miles. Wow. So his legs were shot to begin with. But we did not play well. And I kept walking over to the board and checking to see if we were going to sneak in somehow. I was convinced we were going to be in the comeback cup. And when you called all the captains over and I saw we made the board, I was like, oh my God. I told him I ran over to Niffman. He's like, all right, well, you got to pitch because I can't feel my legs anymore. So I pitched that first playoff game. And I think in the pool play games, out of the three games, we scored maybe 20 runs total. That first playoff game, we doubled that. We hit 20 just in that first playoff game. And it gave Nifman his second wind. He took the ball. He's like, I'm just going to go. I feel so much better now. And I'll tell you what, Nifman, when he's on, he's nasty. And it just proves it in the championship game. He gave up 3 runs in a medium pitch, big bat championship game. Sick.
And it is sick. I mean, you 5-inning game, you know, you give up 3 runs in a big bat medium pitch game. It, you would never believe that in a million years. And I saw it last year when Punishment did the same thing to TC35, also in a championship game, held them down, keeping them off balance and things like that. It can be done. And it's the caught looking rule that you said is the great equalizer, right? Mm-hmm. Anything can happen, because the fields weren't 150 feet, right? They're basically 100 feet down the lines, which makes it shorter in center field, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a massively large field. It was a fun style. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching it. And I'm really glad you had a good time, and love for you to come back down sometime. Maybe your wife can plan a trip around one of our other tournaments that you can come down and maybe meet Ian halfway, right? So, hey, meet me in Austin.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him to. That's for sure.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it, your time tonight and on this podcast. It's been fun. I was so stoked when you were coming, and I hope to see you back here in Texas sometime, coming out to play in one of these events. If not, if you're just here during non-event, hit me up. We'll go to dinner and catch up that way. So, yeah, Adam, thanks so much for being on Holy Commutes today.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I appreciate you having me. And I just wanted to share that I still keep this bad boy close to me.
Oh, it's a good medal, right?
It sure is.
It's unique.
It's a great medal.
Oh, people can't really see it because we're doing audio, but it's a custom ribbon. It is a wood medal with great color on it. And I guarantee you nothing that Ian has, he's gotten from Wiffle Ball, is comparable to that thing, because they're very, very awesome and very unique.
They sure are.
Yeah, I mean, you may have to come back to Texas and try to earn one of those rings.
I don't know. I don't know if I can go back. I'm me and Nifman won a tournament, and I don't know if I can risk it again.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks, Adam. And for all you listeners, thank you for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of Holy Commutes on January 25th. Holy Commutes, your only daily podcast for all things wiffle ball. This is Texas Tim and Adam Milstead. I am out.
Jay Young,
Sean Kingston,
you're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll never work. You have me suicidal, suicidal, when you say it's over. That-